Amen. All right. By now you ought to have 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. If you'll look with me for just a few minutes, I'd like to share with something that I think the Lord has given me, and I think it'll help everybody in here. Verse 24. Then cometh the end. Boy, we just stopped. That jumped out at me. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. He, Jesus Christ. Then cometh the end, when Jesus shall have delivered up the kingdom of God. When Jesus gives it to the Father. When Jesus puts down all rule and all authority and all power, then cometh the end. What a message. What a message. If you will, I'd like for us to pray. And Brother Holroyd, if it wouldn't scare you, I'd like for you to pray for us today. Yes. Amen. Thank you. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every story has a beginning. And therefore, every story has an end. And here, it's talking about the end. Look at it again, verse 24. Then cometh the end. The end of what? The end of this old world, the end of the story of humanity, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The end of the story of the glory of God who created the heavens and the earth and all therein, and sent his Son to die in sinful man's place, and rose him again the third day, and sat him on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And in the end, he's coming back in all his glory and all his power, in all his honor. And when it's all over, he's going to take all that pertained in that story of the earth and the world and humankind and the redemption of man through his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. And he's going to take all that pertained in that story. And if you look at it in our passage, he's going to present it back to God the Father. In the end. In the end. Now I got thinking about that. Boy, I'm telling you, there is an end of everything except God. There is an end, and people live and think, and we do as believers a lot of times, they live and they think and they act, Brother Rick, like there's never going to be an end. People live, they don't want to talk about it. In the end. In what end? In your end. We're all going to have an end. We have eternal life, but we don't have an eternal body yet. And this body has an end. This corrupt, sinful flesh that we live in and we battle with every day, this body has an end. Our lives, not our eternal life, but what we know is life on earth. Son, you're 11, 12 years old. How old are you? 13. Your head looks like them were out two bodies. Listen, 13 years old, and you still have an end. You've got an end. Some people's end is closer than other people's end. I have an end. My mama's 98, and I'm the last of 9 children, and I pray I'll just at least go long as my mama. But whether I do or not, I have an end. And look, the sooner you realize that, the sooner you'll understand that you've got to meet God. You've got to meet God. One day we will all stand before a holy God, the creator of the universe. We will all stand and give account to our creator. Amen? In the end, cometh. Now, listen to me. I think as this world has an end, When I'm talking about the world, I'm talking about the worldly system and the people that live in it and all the things that are going on this planet. It has an end. This world has an end. Now, I know if you talk like that now, people think you're a nut and you're some kind of survivalist or something, but it's a biblical fact and it's a scientific fact. Everything that has a beginning has an end. And listen, we are living closer to the end than the guy that was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write the passage that we just read. We're 2,000 years closer to it now than the Apostle Paul, who was inspired by God Himself when God told him, write this down. And we're 2,000 years closer than that. And we need to realize that not only personally do we have an end, other than the eternal part of us who is going to go to Christ and we'll get a new body and those things. I'm not preaching on that today. But this body you're looking at has an end, and we need to realize that. But we also need to realize that this world that we live in has an end. And we're closer to it than the writers of the Scripture who we claim to believe. Amen? Amen. And yet we sing, K, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. K, sirrah, sirrah. Y'all remember that song? You got to be old to remember that song. And but we go on and we want to ignore the fact, number one, that I have an end, you have an end, but we want to ignore the fact that this world that we live in, we walk on, we exist in, it also has an end. And our Scripture reminds us, and it just jumps out right there, just as plain as day. It jumps out in your face when you read it. Then cometh the end. When all shall be delivered up. That's everything. Everything that ever existed. Everything that was ever created. Every soul that was ever saved, every soul that was condemned, everything, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to present it to the Father. Amen. Then cometh the end. We live in a bubble. It's called America. And for some reason, we think the whole world is like America. And it's not. We're the richest, the most educated, the laziest, the fattest. Excuse me. People on planet Earth. Excuse me. I've had this cough. But now God reminds us there's going to be an end. Now God's been good to us. The poorest person in this room would be the richest person in most countries if you visited them. The Chinese, the Orientals hate Americans. They say all Americans are fat and lazy and spoiled. They do. That's what Orientals say about us. They don't like us. The Europeans say the same thing. So we have to realize that this old world is what we see is not everything that's going on. Now, there's a lot of countries, if I read this passage, they'd say, amen, preacher, I can see it coming. Amen, preacher, I saw some of it yesterday when they blew up the block I lived on. Amen, preacher, I saw it whenever they shot those 10 men down there on the corner down there. The end cometh. The end cometh. Now, I thought about that. We are living in the last of the last days. The last. Now, excuse me, y'all. The last days didn't start because Russia invaded the Ukraine or Crimea. And some preacher will tell you that. And the last days didn't start because Nazi Germany killed 6 million Jews, not counting the 4 million other people they killed. That's not that's not starting of the end. Y'all gonna have to excuse me. I got water and it don't help. The end started when they nailed the Son of God to a tree. The end of the end started that day. Now, we're closer to the end of the end than we were 2017 years ago. A couple of things, real quick, and I'll try not to cough you in your ear again. Hebrews 1, look at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, I am so sorry, y'all. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. I got a cough drop somewhere. Look it up, Hebrews 1. Boy, that sounds good, didn't it? Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The devil didn't want me to preach this. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. In other words, the word of God. God moved them. Give me. I'll calm down. Maybe that'll help. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Number one, in these last days, God spake by his Son. Now listen to me. God didn't speak by Muhammad. God didn't speak by Vindu, Vishu, whoever that Hindu stuff is. God didn't speak by Joseph Smith. God didn't speak by Alexander Campbell or Judge Rutherford. God spoke by his Son. Now, he said in these last days. You say, well, that was a long time ago. No, he's still speaking. The Word of God is alive. That word quick, the Word of God's quick. That means alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God's alive. It's not a dead book. It's a live book. It's just as alive today as it was the day that God spoke by His Son. Amen? So, in this last day, God still speaks by His Son. I don't care what some preacher on television tells you or the radio. Boy, I found a nut on there the other day. There's something chapel hour. I don't care what they say. It's the Word of God. If a man comes out tomorrow and says, God told me to tell you, I'd say, listen, if it's not the Word of God, I don't want to hear it. I don't trust anybody in these last days with anything outside the Word of God. In these last days, God spoke by His Son. Number two, I know it's the end of the end. Acts 2. Look at Acts 2, verse 17. I had an inhaler and I brought it. Acts 2, 17. Look at it. Now, we know that God speaks by His Son. Look at Acts 2, 17. I didn't work either. And it shall come to pass in what days? Saith who? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now you listen to me. In the last days, that's the church age, God pours out His spirit, and God did that in the last days. Now let me tell you something. The Spirit of God is God. Now listen to me. You can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit's interpretation for you. 1 Corinthians 2:14, natural man understands not things of spirit, for the spiritually discerned. Now, you must be born again to possess the Holy Spirit. And then once you get born again, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit because He said He would give you His Spirit when you got saved. Then he says, in the last days, I'm not just going to give you my Holy Spirit, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you. That means in the last days, in these days that we live in, the Spirit of God should be moving as much or more than He did in the first days.
Amen.
In the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Now, you listen to me. I don't care how afraid you are of that word Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. I don't care how afraid you are of that word Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit and without His help, we can't even understand the Scriptures, much less see the signs of the times.
Amen.
We need Him. We need Him. You ought to invite Him in. You ought to invite Him to help you. You ought to ask Him to fill you so that you can have the power and you can have the presence of God to live in the last days.
Amen.
Number three, James chapter 5, verse 3. Boy, I tell you what, listen. James chapter 5, verse 3. Y'all pray for me. I think I got my breath back. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for, what did that say? Now let me tell you something. In these last days, people are heaping treasure. That's all it's about. That's all. Turn on Saturday radio, any channel. All they talk about is money, retirement funds, buying property, selling property. It's all about money. People think that they can't live without being rich. But let me tell you something. Your grandma did pretty good, and she wasn't rich. She was trusting the Savior.
Amen. Come on now.
And your grandpa did pretty good, and he wasn't rich. He was trusting the Creator of the universe. Amen. He said, look at the flowers of the field. I clothe them. He said, look at those birds. I feed them. They don't even have a job. They don't heap nothing together. I take care of them. And look, in these last days, we as Christians have to get back to trusting God for heavenly treasures and quit worrying so much about earthly treasure.
Amen. Yes. Come on, bro.
Yeah. Well, preacher, I can't come to church. I work on Sunday. I'd get me another job. Well, you just don't know my situation. No, but the Heavenly Father does. Well, preacher, I can't serve the Lord because my job won't allow it. I can get me another job. Yeah. Preacher, you just being... No, I've done it. I've never been hungry. I've never been naked. God's took care of me. He's taken care of a lot of other people. If you quit counting on gold and count on God, you'll live a lot happier and you'll have a lot more peace in your life. But these last days, even the churches preach it. Even the churches preach prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. You must not have faith if you're not rich. You must not be a real believer if you don't have this, you don't have that. Let me tell you something. There's a little woman in Afghanistan right now gathering up some little old twigs, and she's living in a cave with 8 or 10 little old children. Their parents done got killed by the ISIS or somebody, and she's sitting over there building a fire to cook her a little cornbread on, thinking she's going to die, and God's taking care of that woman. There's believers in Africa right now. They ain't got nothing. They live under a tree somewhere in a lean-to. They ain't ever owned a pair of shoes. They don't know what a Gucci pocketbook is. I don't either, really. That just come to me. And God's taking care of them. Amen? Y'all still with me? In the last days, people will heap riches together. Everything now is about money. Money, 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 money. You go to church, you hear it. It's all you hear. And people won't get mad at me because I asked you to put an extra dollar in the building fund. Well, go to one of these super churches. They'll ask you to sell your house and put it in the building fund. Amen. But the days we live in, they're heaping treasure. And you know what? And when you do that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to forget God. There's nothing wrong with treasure unless it makes you forget God. There's some people think they're going to heaven because they got big house, big nice clothes, big bank account, and they think God must favor them because they have things. Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't favor people to have things. He loves everybody whether they got things or not.
Amen.
When I grew up, I thought we were poor because God didn't love us, and only rich people went to church because they had the clothes to go and they had the car to go, and we didn't own nothing, and nobody ever invited us to church, and I figured they didn't invite us because we were poor, and then I thought, well, that associates poverty with hell. But it's really just the opposite.
Amen.
In these last days, 2 Timothy, look at it. Most of you already know it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Y'all forgive me. I won't cough in your ear no more, I don't think. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You gave it to me. The only place I get around people cough is here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1. This know also, there's something else you need to know. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Perilous times. That means times you can't go out on the street anymore. That means times you better not let your wife go anywhere by herself too much anymore, unless you done taught her how to use a gun and got one in her pocketbook. And don't tell me if you do, by the way. I don't need to know that. There's some women in here I know packing, and it scares me to death. I don't need to know that, okay? But that's the day we live in because of perilous times. Perilous times is when you can't stand uptown and talk out real loud about Jesus because you'll offend somebody and something might happen to you. Perilous times is when children sell their parents sell their children to the devil by exposing them to everything in the world. Amen?
Yeah.
And then their children turn out to be mean as the devil. Perilous times. You know, when I was growing up, I was part of that unruly, undisciplined crowd. I ain't had no daddy. I had no father, so I didn't have any discipline. My mom was, by the time I was a teenager, we were bigger than she was. She was a little old thing. And we were the worst, part of the worst crowd in town. And we just wandered the streets at night. We'd say we was camping out and just wandered the streets all night long. And you know, I'm talking about 10, 11, 12 year old boys. That couldn't happen the day we live in now. You know why? Somebody would hurt you. You would disappear. When I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, we'd go to Springs Park. That was a park down on the backwater there in Lancaster Springs on the big park. Had the giant swimming pool. And you'd get a book of tickets for $1. And for $1, you could swim all day and get a hot dog and a drink. Serious. So we'd hunt bottles, do whatever we had to do, and sell them and get our dollar. And then we'd get on Great Falls Highway in Lancaster, South 200, and go. 10, 11, 12 years old. Hitchhike, 13 miles. We'd go swimming all day. No parent, no adult. There'd be five or six of us. We'd walk back out to Highway 200, going north back to Lancaster. Get a ride. You better not do that now, son. Somebody will kill you. Somebody will kidnap you. Somebody will abuse you. Somebody will hurt you. Why? What's different, preacher? We live in perilous times. We live in perilous times. In the last days, the end cometh. He speaks by His Son. He pours out His Spirit. People are heaping together treasures. We're living in perilous times. 2 Peter chapter 3, and most of you already know this. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 3 and 4. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know what he's saying? You know what they're saying? In these last days, scoffers will come. And you say, well, you better get ready. Jesus is coming. They'll laugh at you and say, we've been hearing that all our life. And you know what? Y'all been saying that, and the world's still here, and it's been here, now they say, you know, 20 billion years or whatever they say. That's stupid. But the world's been here, and he hadn't come yet. Ha, ha, ha. You're foolish. Your faith is foolish. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a bigot. You're preaching hate. You're preaching fear. You're a fear monger saying Jesus is coming back, and you're trying to scare people into your religion. No, sir. You're a scoffer, and you're making fun of what God said, and you're mocking what God said, and that's the last of the last days. If somebody would have said that in America 50 years ago, people would have jumped all over him. Very seldom did you hear, when I was growing up, very seldom, we didn't go to church, I didn't know many people that did, but very seldom did you hear anybody mock or make fun of the Word of God. I was scared of it. I didn't know anything about it. We had one like this on the coffee table there at the house, but it was white, and Mama had little locks of hair in it, and had a couple four-leaf clovers in it, and had some history in it, but nobody ever read it. But we didn't mock it. But we didn't make fun of it. But we didn't make fun of those that believed it. I was scared of those people. Oh man, they'll call God down on me. I'll get burned up right here. I've told it over and over and over. Churches didn't even lock the doors back then. Kept on a light so you'd come in and pray if you wanted to. Nobody ever hurt the church. Nobody ever tore or stole anything from the church. And we didn't even go to church. But I was scared to death of going in there. They told me that was God's house. I had a preacher's son that was friend for about 2 years down there at Temple Baptist Church, down at the end of Springdale Road there. I went to school with him. He and I made friends. He was about mean as I was. And I'd go down there, and we'd all get together and play basketball. And had a little basketball thing out there, you know, and we'd get there, and we'd get all sweaty and nasty like boys do, you know. Playing shirts and skins. You ever play shirts and skins? That was embarrassing for me. I always wanted to be shirts because I wasn't that big around. I mean, I wanted to wear the shirt. I didn't want to be the skin. But boy, we'd get thirsty, and the boys would run to that back door, and they'd sling that thing open, you know, and they'd run down there and get them some water out of the water fountain. They'd shoot back that high and go all out on the floor, and they'd just laugh, and then they'd run out the other door. Not me, buddy. I walked over that door. I'd tiptoe down that hall. I'd go over that water fountain. I'd get me a drink of water, and I'd turn around and I was hoping God didn't know I was there. I was scared to death God was going to catch me in there, a 14, 15-year-old rebellious teenager, mean as the devil. And look, I wasn't about to make fun of him or his church. I grew up cussing everybody. I knew cuss. If we couldn't think of a word, we'd make them up as we went along. But I'll tell you one thing. My mama told me one time, says, God will hold you accountable if you use God's name in vain. We never use God's name in vain. Only the wickedest of the wicked used God's name in vain. Now you turn it on television. Now they sing it in Psalms. Now they write in the newspaper. Let me tell you something. Fake people with fake religion will not say anything about that. But us folks got the old time religion. We know the truth. We've been set free. We'll tell you about it. And here we are in last days, and even church people make fun at what we believe. Some of these so-called Christian comedians, you don't want to listen to them. They make fun of the way they were raised. They make a joke out of it. One of them's a famous singer. I can't remember his name. Mark something. Some of y'all know him. He makes fun of old-fashioned Christianity. Shame on him. He's doing it. I don't know if he's saved or not, but if he is, shame on him. Making fun of what made him what he is today and what made his mom and dad what they were and what saved this country and what keeps people out of a devil's hell and making fun of that stuff. But in the last days, scoffers will come. Amen. Now, that's all y'all ever talk about. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Y'all bunch of fanatics. You bunch of nuts. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather be a fanatic about Jesus coming than I would the World Series. Than I would the Super Bowl. Yeah, yeah. Hey, they know the names of all the players on those stinking teams, and they couldn't even name you the 12 apostles. And a lot of them claim to be Christians, and they make fun of us for what we say. God help us. God help us. In the last days, when the fullness of times was come, then the end cometh. Let me show you one more. For Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Preacher, we're living in a hard time. Yeah, we are. Preacher's looking bad. Yeah, it is. It's looking bad. It's looking bad. Preacher, what do you think is going to happen? The end cometh. The end cometh. I believe we're right at the door. I believe all we're waiting on is a trumpet to sound and the door to open. Amen. I believe that's God's doorbell. He's going to ring the doorbell. The door's going to open. Amen. Da-da-da-da. Come up hither. Amen. And I think that's all we're waiting on. Now, let me tell you something. Don't feel sorry for me for being a Christian. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not the one that's going to be sorry when the end cometh. Amen. Amen. I might be denied now. I might be made fun of now. I might be mocked and laughed at now. But look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Go ahead and make fun of us now. One day, hey, we might be on the bottom now, but one day we're going to be on the top. Look at the little old church on John Street down there, pitiful little old Baptist church. Look at them now, but one day, hey, we'll be wearing our royal robes. We'll have our crowns, amen? And when the end cometh, we win. I've always pulled for the underdog, always have. I don't watch football, but when I do, anybody that wants to play against the Charlotte Knight, Charlotte, what are they now? Charlotte anything, Panthers. Anybody wants to play against Panthers, I'm for them. I'm always for the underdog. I'm against pride and arrogance. I've always been for the underdog in any sport. I don't even know the team, so when I watch it, whoever's the least liked, that's the one I like. And that's just the opposite of the world we live in. The world we live in, they look at God's real church as the underdog. And they look at us as in the fourth quarter and we're losing. We're losing membership. We're losing baptisms. We're losing buildings. Did you know in this country every week there are 16 churches close their doors? 16 churches. Every week, 16 churches close and sell their property every week in this country. 16. Now, let me tell you something. It looks like we're winning in heaven, but not on earth. Now, believe it or not, as low as we are, and we're way down here, as far as the world's concerned, now, you and I, we look at each other and we say, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You and I, we look at each other and we say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Amen. He owns everything. But the world looks at us and they say, oh, them pitiful little old Christians. They can't drink liquor. They can't smoke dope. They can't do cocaine. They can't smoke crack. They can't intermarry and extramarry and all kind of stuff, you know. They just can't have no fun. Well, our fun's coming.
Amen.
Hey, theirs is temporal. Ours is eternal. Amen. Don't feel sorry for us. We're winners. It's like the tortoise and the hare. You know that story? Boy, that hare, he's wide open. And the old tortoise, he just keeps. And then the hare falls down, has to get back up. And the old tortoise, he just. And the hare, he gets sidetracked because he's so ADD. And he gets. And the old tortoise, he's still. And the old hare, hey, he gets discouraged. And the old tortoise, he just. Amen. It looks like the tortoise is going to lose. That poor little old fella, he barely can go. But he never stops. And he never gives up. And he don't get no faster, but he don't get no slower either. He just keeps right on trucking. He ain't going to get sidetracked. He ain't going over here. He ain't going over there. And one day, he's going to cross the finish line while the stupid hare is back there done wore himself out somewhere else doing something else because he didn't believe right and behave right. And the poor little old tortoise, everybody laughed at him, made fun of him. Go ahead and laugh. This is your day. Our day's coming. Our day's coming, Rick. Go ahead and make fun of me now. You got your time. Go ahead. Make fun of me. Go ahead and, hey, go ahead and mock him now. Go ahead and laugh at him now. But payday's coming. We're going to cross the finish line while you're still back there wallowing in a drunken mess or a drugged out hospital room. Amen. And we're just going to cross the finish line. Da-da-da-da, come up hither. Woo! And we go right across that finish line. And you know what? We're closer today than we were 2,000 years ago when that was written. We're closer today than over 200 years ago when this country was founded on the Christian faith. We're closer today than when they came back from World War II and got back in church. We're closer today when they came back from 9/11 and got back in church. And we're closer today than we were last Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And we're closer today than we were yesterday.
Amen.
And today may be the day.
Thank you, Lord.
The end cometh. You say, preacher, what if he doesn't come? Well, then I'm closer to that last breath that I take on planet Earth and my next breath that I take in heaven. There's one step between man and death. You know what? That one step goes from here to heaven. I cross the universe in one step. I go from dead to alive forevermore in heaven in one step. There's one breath. The Bible says it. There's one heartbeat. Now, hey, if he doesn't come set up his kingdom tomorrow, I may go and get him ready, help him get ready for the setting up of his kingdom. Because I'm coming back with him then when he comes. So either way, I'm a winner. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm a winner. I started winning March the 5th, 1978, when I got down on my knees and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I ought to go to hell, but I don't want to go. I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose from the dead, and I'm asking you to save me and forgive me of my sins. That day, he put me on the winning side. Now, it don't always look like I'm winning. But see, it's already been established in heaven. I've already won. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. They'd have to air condition it. I couldn't. Hey, the God has ordered my steps. God has established my going forth. And he's already says in Ephesians 2 that we are seated in heavenly places. I've already crossed the finish line in his eyes. What about you? What about you? The end cometh. If the trumpet sounds today, are you ready for that end? You say, preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, let me ask you this. If you take that last breath, are you ready for that end? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The end cometh in the last days. Now, what are you going to do with it? Now, you make the choice. You can be a winner or you can be a loser. It's up to you. I can't get you to do it. Nobody can get you to do it. God won't make you do it. But you have a choice. Do I want to be a winner or do I want to be a loser? Yeah, I may look good now, but how am I going to look 60 years from now? What are you going to do with it? The end cometh. Are you ready for your end? Christian, are you ready for His end? Are you standing? After you've done all, He said, stand. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the Spirit of God that calls.